Somebody told me that I was brave to stand in this pulpit today, but maybe coming after Emmanuel, I'll just call myself stupid. Because that's brave. Our readings today, I think, describe our life, what we've gone through. Isaiah describes our condition, brokenhearted. John describes Jesus' intervention. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And then I think Philippians describes our response. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. I want to unpack each of those just a little bit. So being brokenhearted. When I heard the news, when you heard the news of what happened, we all react in different ways. I couldn't speak. I couldn't breathe. My heart was broken. Because I thought back to the first time I met the Ahima Seaways. And of course, what you've heard from everybody is what struck me was Dorcas, because I saw this beautiful woman with this incredible smile wearing this black and white dress. She was on the other side, I think, of a swimming pool in a friend's backyard. And I just will never forget that moment. I'll never forget. Right over here was the baptismal font, September 2010. I baptized Jay. I said to Israel, I said, Jay is your son, you're a priest, you baptize him. And he said, no, I want you to baptize him. For a priest, that's a complete honor, to baptize the child of another priest. And so my heart's been broken, as your heart has been broken. Because this is a tough and difficult situation. And sometimes I want to cry like that. And sometimes I do. And as I stand here with my friends' bodies here, with Dorcas in the place of where the bride is to be, and Israel, the groom, and Jay, their child, our hearts are broken. And I love God's word because it gets right to the heart of the matter. It doesn't hide anything. We're people who are broken. We're people who need help. We're people who need comfort. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to the house of his friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And they were in great distress after Lazarus died. And Jesus shared with them that hope that he was the resurrection, that he was the life. But you know, those are just words until something is done. And so what Jesus did is he went over to the tomb. But before he resurrected Lazarus and brought him back to life, he stood there and he wept. And I think Jesus wept because he knew that his own violent death was coming soon. And I think he wept because he hated death. Because God never created us to die. God created us to live forever. He created Adam and Eve to live forever, but sin entered into the world, and so did death. For some reason, God has brought Ugandans into my life, and I'm not sure why, but in February of 1977, I was an acolyte in our church. And our guest preacher that day was a bishop from Uganda. I wish I could remember his name, but I can't. But he had just escaped Idi Amin. I believe this followed right on the heels of the death, the murder of the Archbishop. He came to Christ Church San Antonio because our church had helped send his son to college in Florida. And he came with nothing. He had to flee at the last moment. He had to leave some of his children in Uganda. He and his wife just got out with absolutely nothing. And there I was holding the plate for the ushers to put the collection plates into when the bishop walked up to me, put his hand in his pocket, and he pulled out a crumpled $1 bill. And I, as a 14-year-old, thought, don't put it in the plate. That's all you have. You don't have anything else. And he put it in the plate. And he witnessed to me so powerfully that day. I don't remember his sermon. I remember his actions. He was giving back to God what he had been giving. And I knew that it was a sacrifice because he had nothing left in his pocket. And that changed me that day. And maybe that was a preparation for me to meet the Ahimasiwes and to meet others. There were other Ugandans along the way, but I'll leave that for another time. Emmanuel, your mom and dad reminded me of that bishop and of his generosity. And so it was so nice to have you all and your family as friends. And so when I found out about their deaths and was so brokenhearted, I wept and I wept. And I wept like Jesus wept that day because it wasn't right. And one morning as I stood weeping in my closet, unable to put on my clothes, I started to think about the cross. And it was the cross of Christ that brought me to my senses. And there are two things that the cross tells us. One is that there's a problem with human beings. There's something wrong about our nature. There's something bent. Something had to be done. And that something that had to be done was God was going to come and take care of the problem in his son, Jesus Christ. You see, God doesn't avoid suffering. God understands all suffering. God understands everything we've gone through because Jesus has gone through all of that pain and torment himself. God is not removed. The cross tells us that. That's why the cross is at the center of our faith. That's why I wear this cross today, given to me by the Bishop of Pakistan, that reminds me that Christians suffer because of the name of Jesus, and we are to identify with that suffering. But of course, the cross is not enough. We need the resurrection as well. The resurrection proves the efficacy of the cross, that it actually worked, that we have a Savior who died for our sins in our place so that we didn't have to endure that suffering. And then Jesus tells us that we will receive resurrection bodies just like his, and they're waiting for us in heaven. And one day, you and I will see Jay and Dorcas and Israel in their perfect resurrection bodies. And we will have our perfect resurrection bodies. And we'll also have our perfect resurrection personalities. And there will be so much joy. And so, I set my hope on that. Emmanuel, in your father's dissertation on the genocide in Rwanda, he quotes a Ugandan bishop who said, "Mercy is more than justice." And that's the message of the cross. We were given mercy at the cross. And therefore, we have to respond. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. And Emmanuel, your mother has left you her favorite scripture. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that is what the bishop was doing when he put that crumpled dollar bill into the offering plate. Even though he had lost all the material possessions he had, he trusted God to strengthen him. And as I said, his witness changed my life and opened up the way for me to know you and your family. Emmanuel, for an 18-year-old man, you've given up entirely too much. My prayer for you is that our God not only strengthens you today, but continues to strengthen you in the months and years ahead. And I pray that same prayer for all of us. A God who is not removed from us, but a God who walks with us. A God who strengthens us day by day to serve him. Emmanuel, thank you so much for sharing your life with us today. And I give you thanks for your wonderful family, for Israel, for Dorcas, and for Jay. Amen.